almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water.
Today we walk into this house with an iconic South African plant, the Aloe Ferox. We must take the bitter with the sweet.
It is a matter that is under consideration. And all I would say is that watch this space.
Welcome to this week's episode of the SA Money Report. This financial podcast is brought to you by Fin24 and hosted by Deputy Editor Ahmed Arif.
Hello and welcome to another episode of SA Money Report. I'm your host, Deputy Fin24 Editor Ahmed Arif. Our weekly show helps to demystify and inform you about the newest, most interesting, almost crucial financial and business news in SA. This week, we are only focusing on our one main story, and that concerns big tobacco. More specifically, the alleged behavior of cigarette behemoth British American Tobacco, whose products, along with other tobacco companies, cause lung cancer, throat cancer, mouth cancer, a whole bunch of other cancers, and unsurprisingly, death. As someone who has kicked the habit, I can tell you that nicotine addiction is a real thing. 3 years later, and the smell of a cigarette still drives me crazy. But anyways, enough about the burnt out ends of my smoky days. Yes, the tobacco industry does contribute considerably to our economy, and yes, the COVID-19 bans were a drag. But it's recently emerged that British American Tobacco has been engaging in some allegedly illegal shenanigans in our part of the world, including spying and bribes. Obviously, British American Tobacco wants to stub out these allegations, but helping us sift through the ashes and check if the multinational is just blowing smoke is Fin24's investigative reporter extraordinaire, Jan Cronje. How's it, Jan? The BBC and the Bureau of Investigative Journalism came out with some damning findings about British American Tobacco and the alleged conduct here in Southern Africa. What can you tell us about it?
Good afternoon, Ahmed. So after we intensely covered the banning of tobacco sales last year as part of the government's effort to fight COVID-19, I think we'd all sort of moved on to other things from cigarettes, and then suddenly this report from the BBC is published stating that British American Tobacco South Africa, which is our biggest tobacco company by far, with brands such as Peter Stuyvesant, Rothmans, Benson and Hedges, bribed or at least attempted to bribe former Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe back in 2013. Now, Ahmed, as you know, South African journalists have been doing excellent investigative work over the past decade or more, but this report was broken in the UK. It was actually a collaboration between three organizations, the BBC's Panorama Investigative Program, the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, and the University of Bath, which turns out to have a tobacco research unit. In short, they collaborated to delve into the underworld of tobacco in Africa, and as you said, they came up with some quite damning findings. They say, for example, that BAT used illegal surveillance to damage its rivals, that it spied on them, that it bribed government officials throughout Africa. Now, it's not only BAT. Other tobacco producers were also mentioned, but the report chiefly focused on BAT, which I guess is understandable given that it's a UK company and these were UK bodies, including the BBC, investigating it.
And apparently there's this South African company called Forensic Security Services that's involved. What do we know about this company and how did information actually come out about its alleged role?
So it seems to be a pretty common cause that this local company was employed by BAT to conduct security in some form or other until 2016. And what is contested is how much of its work was above board and how much was in a kind of grey zone or even outright illegal. Now, BAT says everything was above board and FSS was in essence collecting evidence to help police crack down on illegal tobacco, amongst other things. But a whistleblower told the BBC that this group broke the law on a number of occasions, spying on and sabotaging rivals, even at one stage allegedly getting access to a police camera network. So the whistleblower kind of equated them in a way to BAT's private security force for kind of doing dirty work. Now, we must say that BAT denies all these allegations and says it's opposed to all forms of things like illegal surveillance in the tobacco industry. Ahmed, and as you noted, this is not the first time that such allegations have been made. Smaller rivals in South Africa have actually for a number of years been saying that FSS was conducting illegal surveillance on them, which BAT at the time also denied.
Cool. So given all of this, and you know, given that you said BAT is saying that they're not... They don't support surveillance and stuff like that. What is their reaction on the whole to all the revelations that have come out from this BBC expose?
BAT, essentially tried to downplay the whole thing, saying these were old allegations that had been covered in the media for years. Now, there's some truth to this. There was, in fact, a big leak of documents about FSS's activities back in 2016, which we and other South African media covered at the time. And that is partly why BAT stopped working with them. So they haven't worked with this company in the past 5 years. But the actual information in the BBC reportage appears to be new, at least it doesn't appear to stem from this trove of 2016 leaks, which are still available online, so we could check them. BAT, Ahmed, also said that the UK's Serious Fraud Office opened an investigation into its activities in Africa in August of 2017, partly, I believe, due to this previous leak of documents, and closed it in January this year due to a lack of evidence. Now, following the BBC's report, there have been some calls to reopen this investigation based on what is now apparently new evidence, but nothing has come of this yet, so far as I'm aware.
So, with BAT saying that these are all just all allegations, there was some stuff that came out recently. There was a report by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project that alleged that BAT was complicit in cigarette smuggling on the African continent on the whole, and by proxy, terror funding. What can you tell us about all of this?
Yes, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project is a collaborative investigative journalism outfit, and it seems that these days lots of these grand cross-border investigations are being done collaboratively. In any case, earlier this year they released a paper saying that BAT had been complicit in cigarette smuggling in North Africa. The specific claim was that BAT intentionally oversupplied cigarettes to Mali, knowing that some of them would be diverted to smugglers. And they claim that eventually some of the profits from these smuggled cigarettes made their ways into pockets of groups affiliated with jihadists. BAT completely denied this, also saying they were opposed to all forms of illegal trade.
Jan, you've spoken to some people who are experts into delving in sort of the smoke and obfuscation of this world of big tobacco. One of whom is the former SARS exec, Johan van Lochrenberg. What does he have to say about all of this, and what does he think needs to happen now?
So I spoke to Johan after the release of the BBC report, which, by the way, he helped contribute to. He was interviewed for that. And he said there really are no good guys in the African tobacco trade, in his view. Everyone has an angle to try and game the system, from small players to the biggest companies. And essentially, Ahmed, he said, this is why you have to have a well-resourced and well-managed government bodies like SARS that can track and trace tobacco, make sure taxes are legally being paid to the state, et cetera, et cetera. So van Lochrenberg thinks it's crazy that there hasn't been a properly resourced South African investigation into tobacco smuggling, given its links in his view to things like state capture and kind of the wider criminal network in the country. By the way, the University of Bath, which is one of the three bodies involved in this report that we're speaking about, said that they are going to publish further reports on tobacco in South Africa specifically, and some that may deal with state capture. So there's also more to come here, which we'll be covering, I'm sure, when they come out.
Lastly, there does seem to be some moves from BISAS to start cracking down, kind of stomping out the butt, so to speak, on the whole tobacco saga. You broke a story recently about a major case. Can you talk to us about it?
Yes, this came from a tip-off independently of the BBC report. In fact, I'd been preparing to write about it when the BBC report was published. And essentially, SARS is a company based at the Beitbridge border post with Zimbabwe. Over the past few years, had imported roughly 30 tons of tobacco, which disappeared without a trace into the underground economy. And it says that the group that was bringing it across the border has absolutely and categorically refused to say what happened to the tobacco. Now, it wants to claw back billions from this company and has started attaching things like its trucks and its cars and its other assets. But in its court filings, I mean, it says that the things that it has attached, which is essentially when it goes and takes everything that a company has, only come to a few million rand at most, while this company, it says, owes it 19 billion rand, an incredible amount of money. I'm not quite sure yet how that 19 billion rand has been worked out, but I mean, we're going to be following the case, and hopefully it'll be explained more in detail later. Anyway, I asked von Lochrenberg to, you know, have a look at this case, and he said in his opinion, this company was acting on behalf of some tobacco manufacturers in South Africa as a front to import cheap tobacco from Zimbabwe, which is then which then disappears into the illegal economy and is made into cheap illicit cigarettes, which are then sold without paying excise tax. Now, the company called Verbena didn't respond to any of my queries. I mean, so I don't know what the explanation behind this is at the moment, but this is another case that we'll be watching going forward.
Chatting again about it soon, I hope. Thanks for your time, Jan.
Thank you, Ahmed.
This brings our show to an end. The music in this episode is courtesy of Getty Images and Epidemic Sound. This week's installment was produced with the help of Kayleen Morgan. Thank you for listening.